You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Ha, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number.
1-800-919-3776.
Mute. And then, if they can't get us on the line, where else can they get us?
They can get us on Bart and Han on the tweet. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get us there, they can DM you on Bart and Han on the Grizzam.
Don't DM me, please.
And listen, Bill, I know you don't want to do this, Bill. I know you don't want to do this. You just took another L. You getting served hot L's. Cam Newton has all of a sudden become fumbleitis. And looks like you guys are going to be watching the playoffs for the first time with us. So, Bill, you ain't got nothing else to do. This is going to be your summer job. Why don't you go ahead and tell them where they can get us, Bill?
Snap face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
He's going to be at Martha's Vineyard in the next 2 weeks.
You said he should be fired. How dare you?
I know I said the general manager should be fired. And that's real.
The Bills have an 88. Think about this. We're at the midpoint of the NFL season. The Bills have an 88% chance to clinch. Like the division is theirs. 88%. Like, it's their division. We're going to talk to Rex Ryan in the noon hour.
That's 2020.
I can't wait to get him going on that.
That's 2020 for you. Upside
I can't wait to get
world.
Rex going. Like, you talk about, like, opportunity lost. Opportunity lost. Where you knew that the Dolphins are going with a rookie quarterback and they won. Right? Bills have a guy that you drafted their quarterback after you drafted your quarterback. They hired a coach pretty much the same time you hired a coach, right? What was he, a year? It's a year different? Is that all it is? Right? Wasn't Sean the year before?
Him with Ty Bowles, yep.
I mean, you're talking about you should have been aligned right now, set up waiting for the demise of the Patriots.
The fall of the evil empire.
And instead...
Well, the good thing is the evil empire ain't no fast track to being evil again. It ain't no...
That's fine. You're right.
It ain't,
right.
Nobody, it ain't out there to get him. So, like, they can make it up.
Yeah.
They can make it up.
And the point is this. I feel for you, man. And you know I relate to everything you say on the SNY postgame show.
We're close.
And when
than
you
ever
said
before.
These words, you said I have losers fatigue. That is something that I felt. I didn't just hear it, I felt it. Because now you understand what the last 6 years of my life has been.
Welcome to my world.
And at least you got 16 games to talk about. I got 82. How you doing? And hopefully I'll get 72 at least this year.
Yeah, you lapped me twice with that.
So you talk about loser's fatigue. It gets to you, man. It eats at you, right? And you said it affects you away from the game. It just bothers you.
Just
losing. So much losing. Well, the Jets do what they do yesterday, and we expected it. We picked it. The spread's covered. Everybody's happy. 0-8. You're halfway to the perfect season or the imperfect season, however you want to call it. And Trevor Lawrence, COVID or not, damn it, you're going to be a Jet. And the Jets also now, with the trade deadline tomorrow, 4 o'clock, they move another player. One player that you actually suggested is probably on the move, and that's Avery Williamson.
To the
who
exact
in full
spot.
Gear, who in full gear was standing outside the airport trying to hail a cab.
Listen. How crazy, and he always does it. He has a lot of
meetings. He goes 0-8 to 7-0, baby.
He's funny. But isn't it? Yeah. You said that with too much excitement in your face. All right. But you know what I'm saying? But
We'll talk about your Steelers in a minute.
But you know what's crazy? The fact that you got one player hitchhiking, you know, in the middle of the night, and then you had McClendon, who reportedly got in a car and drove that night to Tampa.
Talk about can't wait.
He's like, y'all can have all that stuff. You can keep the clothes, you keep the dishes.
Oh my God.
Free rummage sale.
Crazy. 800-919-3776. So the Jets get, we got a lot of calls we'll get to right now in a couple of seconds here. The Jets get a fifth round pick in 2022.
That's good value.
All right. That's a fifth from Pittsburgh in this deal. They gave up a seventh, but who cares? Seventh. So right now, looking at the drafts going ahead, right? The Jets have in 2021, this coming April, God willing, all right, they have their pick plus the Seahawks pick. They have their second round pick. They have their third and the Seahawks third as well. They have the Giants. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Right? Did they get that Giants pick with that's right. Williams has to sign an extension.
Yeah, yeah, a deal.
Right? Okay, so that's still conditional. Their own fourth. So that's a ton of picks. A fifth, again, could be the Giants' a fifth, depending on how this all works out. And then their own fifth. They have the Patriots. No, they gave the Patriots their sixth. That's it. Do they have a sixth? So you have a ton of picks in 21. And then now you're adding to your 22 stable.
Picks. Yeah, you can trade future picks too, because they got two first-round picks in the other draft too, remember?
So this is basically now becoming all about Joe Douglas and nothing else, right? And so there's a crazy question. Hurls asked it, and I'm going to ask it, and then I'm going to duck. Because Hurls asked it, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. And then I'm like, you know what, though? It's an interesting thing to ask. So Bart, swing at me. I'm going to duck. Trade deadline's tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Yep.
You are 0-8. And you were on the fast track to 0-16. You're pretty much the favorite to get the number one pick. If a team calls you about Sam Darnold, do you not only take the call, but do you think about it?
Nah, I don't think about it at all.
Really?
And the reason why
it guarantees because, you're going to lose.
Yeah,
like you're shutting it down. Everybody in the locker room goes, "Okay, we just traded Sam. They are definitely not trying to win here."
Yeah,
like it sends the message that for the rest of the year we're done. Is it that crazy for me to say? Now, I'm not saying you call around the league. I'm just saying the Jimmy G thing was interesting, what San Francisco did. It wasn't about that year. It was get him in our system. Let's get him ready, and then we go forward with it, right? Now we have our player in our system, learning our system, and we'll have him ready to go next year. Because there's people who still think Sam can play.
Of course. But, you know, I think
he's 23, and he's still in his rookie deal. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Am I crazy to think that?
23 years old, he's a baby. Listen, 23 years old, he's younger than Joe Burrow right now. So, I mean, like, pump your brakes
hilarious
a little bit. You know, that it needs to let you know that he, you know, and listen, you could decide to take Trevor Lawrence. I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is the only way Sam's going to be able to have his value if you're able to show a glimmer of what he's capable of. And we saw this before. We saw this in San Diego. We saw this with Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. We saw them able.
Yeah, but how'd that work out, though?
What do you mean? Phillip Rivers like has been everything that they would have hoped. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. That's the best you can ask for when you take somebody, you know, in the first round or second overall.
Who turned into the better quarterback?
I mean, who been with the more stability?
That's
because if Drew Brees would have signed with Nick Saban, I don't think we'll be saying that about Drew Brees.
Okay.
We're saying that because he went with Sean Payton, and Sean Payton has been there, and he's been just as good or not better than Drew Brees in being able to acquire talent, being able to have a system that's flexible and able for a quarterback like Drew Brees to thrive in. But what I'm saying is I would like to see that because then maybe if Sam Darnold starts playing well by this time next year with all the pieces that you put, that third round pick that you might get for Sam Darnold might be a first round draft pick. So
okay.
I'd much rather do that one.
So you still want
to work the young guy in slowly.
Okay.
And then
I got
be able to trade Sam Darnold at 23.
So you're looking at it like, got to get some weapons, got to get healthy, buy more time, and maybe if he starts showing out, but you know. But Trevor looks so good in practice that now we've got that choice of there's
That's
a
fine.
Team out there. Everybody looks for quarterbacks all the time.
And
now you've got two.
You do a Fitzpatrick. You do it Fitzpatrick. You take him and you say, you know what? I understand, Sam, but we don't want to get you hurt. It's too close to the trade deadline. You've done your part. Now it's time for us to start with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, hopefully now we have a good enough team that's healthy, right? Because I think this Jets team, listen, this Jets team is going to look so much better next year. And maybe even the Giants. The Giants have spent money, but the Jets are reportedly going to be $75 million under the cap. Right, and that's before some other contracts fall off. So if that's the case, in a world, you know what's the best place to be in life? Is be where everything
next.
Is on when yes, and when
next.
Everything's and when everything's on discount, and you're the only one with money.
Oh, okay,
you know what
there's
I'm saying?
That too.
So you're talking.
I always like to be next on deck. Is the best place to be in life?
Right. So the Jets are going to have a bunch of money, a bunch of draft picks, and they're going to and the market's going to be drunken because people aren't going to be able to retain their players. They won't be able to keep them because their salary cap is going to be small and it's going to get smaller. It don't matter because the Jets have nobody now in which they give big money to outside of C.J. Mosley. Nobody else makes any money. Name me somebody that makes over $6 million, not named C.J. Mosley. Still up on the roster.
On the roster?
On the roster.
Nobody.
My point. So if that's the case, that means you know how much spending you can do. You know how many great players you can get, not at a crazy price, but at top of the market value, which the market is going to change next year. But you get them at that type of, you get them at that bargain price, but you're the only person that got liquid cash. Everybody else stuck in stocks and bonds and futures. Yours is, you got liquid cash to spend. Cash
straight
money.
Cash, homie.
So you talk about the
well,
fact
I mean, Crow,
that
actually, Crowder does. Crowder's
okay.
Got, I,
okay,
for,
Crowder.
Yeah, as
so
I'm
two.
Looking at it.
Two.
Henry, and you got to get rid of Henry Anderson.
Well, his contract's up. He's out of here.
McGovern.
He's out of here. Okay, so
Quinn.
First of all, No.
I'm giving you all the names over six.
No. Those are fake contracts. Those are Julius Randle's. Right? Those are basically 1 year with outs in them.
Oh, I got you.
Those are all outs.
Yeah, fair.
The only one that's not an out is Crowder. Crowder's the only one that's not an out. But Crowder, if he shows up today, he might be somebody that I'm willing to trade. So
yeah, if he's healthy, that's the key part.
So if not, you have two guys. You have two guys. Two. That you pay over $6 million.
No, I like you. What you're saying is basically, again, this goes back to how this is really Joe Douglas's show now. This is all about him, and we can't wait to get to that point now where he's in charge again, running because it's the off season. But that's basically what this is about. You're going to have a ton of cap space in a world where everyone is going to have a budget that is going to get tighter.
Right.
And so you're going to have players. Some teams might have to make tough decisions on players, right? They're going to have to say, well, we can't afford to sign this guy or keep our guy.
Right.
And
it's
keep,
be two
so we're going
to
cut somebody.
Make sure. We're going to have to take this guy and we're going to have to let this guy go.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make
so
this
you've
guy
got
available.
Picks that you could say, well, instead of you cutting him and then I got to compete for him, I'll give you a seventh. I'll give you a sixth. I'll do this. Whatever it is. You can get an asset for a player that you would otherwise cut.
Alan, I'm not even saying that, Alan. What I'm saying is the free agent market next year.
Even just free agent.
What I'm saying, I'm going to keep my picks because I know you can't afford them. I know for a fact that Philadelphia cannot afford Zach Ertz. And they have a tight end that they like that's young and cheap, but they're $64 million over the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz, I will pick him up from the airport. I'm letting you guys know he's coming.
No, the Zach Ertz thing's exciting. And if you mention Smith-Schuster, you mentioned
or
a couple
Kenny
other
Galladay.
Galladay. Oh, man. See, that's what you get me excited.
He's a
and
number
we still
one.
Got half a season. All right, so we got half a season to go, and we got to see where they go from here. But I just asked a simple question about Sam, just out of curiosity, how fans are feeling. It's not like I'm trying to get rid of this guy, but you know what reality you're facing. You're facing a reality, and you just wonder, is there a team out there that might go, you know what? This would be the time to grab this kid, and we can get him in our system. And the Jets think, all right, well, if we're ever going to guarantee ourselves the top pick, this is the way to do it. 800-919-3776 is the number. Bart, we've got a ton of calls. We're going to get to them. We do have Rex coming up at noon, so we're going to spend this hour talking to you, the fans. And while you're doing that, go to Bart and Hunt on Twitter, because with Election Day tomorrow, we decided we're going to do our own little election here. We're going to do our New York sports elections. Now, I mean New York, you know, this area, all right? So don't give me the whole Buffalo thing. So basically, this is your chance to pledge your allegiance to your favorite teams. So on the Twitter is a thread that did I just say on the Twitter? I mean, how boomer did that sound?
Get off my lawn.
I know. So anyway, on our Twitter page, we have all the different polls up between each teams. Jets and Giants, Knicks and Nets, Yankees, Mets, Rangers, Islanders. The four teams, New York, based, let's say, name. I know. We can argue about the Jets and Giants. Just stop it. This is what we're doing. So just stick with it, okay? Stay with me. So you vote on each team. Here's how we'll do it. Now, the winners from today, tomorrow's election will be the four winners from each of the major sports. They will then go into an election tomorrow, and here's how we're going to do it. Bart and I agreed to do this. Whoever wins the election, Wednesday, our open will be about that team. Don't matter.
Really?
If the Rangers win, we talk Rangers to open the show. Islanders win, we talk Islanders. Mets win, we talk Mets. And by the way, be real easy to do. I mean, that's how we're doing this. Whoever wins the election, which we do it today, and then the winners, the four winners from today, then compete tomorrow in our election day, that's who we open the show with on Wednesday. So you control the show for once. That's it. You get out and vote, and you have the power. That's kind of the message we're trying to send here. 800-919-3776 is the number. So let's get some calls, Bart. A lot of passion out there. And we begin with Charles in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, guys. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
Bart, you the man.
I appreciate it.
Listen, man. I am done with Joe Douglas, man. I'm done with him. Yes. Bart, everything he's done so far has been horrible. Everything.
Can I explain what he's doing?
Well, first ask him what I want to know. But I want to know, Charles, is what everything? Like, give me a couple of examples of things where you're like, that just didn't work. Fail. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's start off with the center that he brought in last season, Khalil. Didn't work.
That's fair point.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Anderson. He messed that up. He didn't go get any free agents to help this team out this year. Nothing.
Right.
This is why we are where we are. That Adam Gase thing, I'm past that. I'm past Adam Gase. I'm through with that. I have no faith right now in Joe Douglas doing anything for this team moving on. I have no faith this man can get it done. No faith in that man.
Can I explain what he's doing and what the strategy is?
Yes, Mark.
So the strategy is to get rid of all the bad contracts that he inherited. So he inherited the C.J. Mosley contract. He inherited the Le'Veon Bell contract. He inherited Sam Darnold. Not that he wouldn't want Sam Darnold, but he inherited the Quincy Enunwa, $9 million a year for Quincy Enunwa salary. That's why they really couldn't pay. They didn't want to pay. They want to pay Robbie Anderson because of that. So they thought they can get a one-year fill-in clone because they thought he was good. They didn't think he was elite, right? They thought he was a good 2A, not a number one. Now, you know, you can still make the decision. Is he the 1 or 1A there with Moore out there with him as well? He has a couple horses out there with him. But what he's doing is, and what his goal is to get young and fast. Young and fast. He wants toughness and speed. And all these guys that he brought in this year, they're all one-year deals. He just tried to grab as many talented players as he could or decent players so that they can have depth to be able to compete, but also they can have live bodies in front. His really person, the only people that he really brought in here that he planned on staying for a long time was Becton and Fant, right? So all the guys in the interior were just filling guys. He's set himself up and his team up to have more money and more draft picks than anybody. So he understands that he's going to go out. Listen, would you be upset with Joe Douglas if he went out and got Zach Ertz, Kenny Galladay, and was able to go and go get Clowney or Judon or Shaq Barrett or Clowney next year? Well, guess what? With the salary cap dropping, he's the only one who has the money to sign all those players, and he has the flexibility to make trades for players because of all the draft equity that he has as well. So to do that, he had to get rid of a lot of bad contracts. When you do that, your team sucks for a while. We saw that. We saw this just last year with who? With the Miami Dolphins that were touting for how quickly they were able to turn it around.
So you're saying this is the ugly part of the rebuild. This is the hard part to get through.
This is the Dolphins part. Now, did he think they would be this bad? No, because he thought that he still would have Perriman with Mims, with Crowder, and that would all be hurt. Enough to win early in the season, right? But understanding that, getting Le'Veon Bell out of here, letting P. Ryan be able to eat, and be able to kind of go and develop became part of the plan that he didn't expect. He thought he would just have Le'Veon this year. They would win some games, and they would get rid of him, and he would dump the contract out after next year. But because they were losing so badly with it, and Le'Veon was starting to become a squeaky wheel, he said, let's start the process a lot earlier. They liked Becton. They like the kid, the pass rusher that's coming along. Quentin Williams is coming along well. C.J. Mosley will be back. They may sign Marcus May next year with the Jamal Adams money, but at a much smaller price.
Who are their corners? Like, corners a major issue. I thought Austin, you know, has moments, but I mean, they just don't have anything on the corners.
Yeah, but that's fine. Well, they'll be able to. They'll go out and they'll address the corner in free agency. You hear the guy that's available. I think it's a Trey Boston for the Chargers that they're making available. Well, he's a Pro Bowl corner. He'll be available. He'll be on the market next year as well. You know what I mean? So you'll have competition there as well. Poole will be a free agent. You'll have to either sign him again or replace him. Mm-hmm. So it's a plan in place. And it's going to be with all fast players. But when you have so many draft picks, you have equity. And you have the ability to be able to try and fill some of these holes. Let's see when Cameron Clark comes back. Is he an okay player? Because you got a lot of players that's coming back from IR. Let's go to another caller, though.
Let's do it, because we got David in Manhattan. Go ahead, David.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you. Thank you.
You know, Bart, you probably can answer this probably a little better than most because you played in the NFL. You remember when the Philadelphia 76ers tanked?
Yeah.
You remember
the
that?
The process.
Okay. It's the process. But, you know, I look at football in a very different way. A much more physical game where your career can end at any play and the long-term effects on your body, you know, the pain is without end. It's a very brutal business. Would it be out of line if the players' union would start taking a look at some of these organizations who are tanking and to try to say, hey, you know, what exactly are we doing here? I mean, it's a different sport than basketball. And I think the Jets were tanking all along, but just now, just to do that and have players out there being non-competitive but still taking the brutal beating every single week, don't you think this is a players' union issue that should be addressed to some degree? Because a lot of other teams will start looking at the Jets in Miami and saying, you know what, let's tank it out. But in the meantime, there's carnage on the football field, and then there's just, you know, the fans watching a mess unfold in front of them.
Well, listen,
I mean, what do you think?
Well, the difference is because, you know, the NFL has way more parity than the NBA. And I think that you can turn a team around quickly in the NFL, you know, if you hit on the quarterback. And I think the Jets have opportunity to hit on the quarterback. But the fact that, you know, we do award the number one pick to the worst team, you know, allows you at least not to have an excuse not to be able to get the player that you want. Right? So I think that, you know, I wouldn't change it. And I think that, you know, look at the teams that are good now that hadn't been good. Look at Tampa Bay. They made one free agent sign and now they're good. Look at
it. Don't you think that's a big part of that's the big part of it. I think what he was just saying, that's a perspective from a fan point of view. But if I'm running an organization and you're going to tell me, so the union's going to come to me and say, you're not trying to win. I'm going to look at you and say, well, wait. I've got union members on my roster.
Right.
I've got them out here. It's not like we're not playing. We're playing. Right. Your guys aren't good enough to win. So, I mean, we share
right
the responsibility
now
of losing. You want to destroy a tank? Play great.
Right.
Right? Like, a coach isn't going to say, hey, just run 2 yards and fall down.
Exactly.
Like, nobody's doing that. Guys are out there. You think Pirine is thinking to himself, he wants to go to the house every time he touches the ball. He's a rookie. It matters to him. You don't think guys are trying to get their stats and trying to get numbers and trying to show out? They all are. They're just not ready yet or not good enough. And is coaching part of it? 100% coaching's part of it. But, Bart, I don't think – it's not as easy to just say, well, we're just not going to try to win.
Right.
But you can set yourself up that you know we're not going to be ready to win.
Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to go out and spend bad money just because you want to get the best player out there and he can't help you. Like, they could have went out and got Clowney. Is Clowney making them a playoff team this year? No. But you can say we're trying to win, so we wouldn't spend money. You want to try and make sure that you could collectively have the proper balance of young players to draft picks to free agents. And so let me give the Jets a little hope, right? Next year, available on free agency, I'm assuming. I think that Cooper Kupp got picked up. I think he got his contract. So, you know, this site can be a little off, but I'm talking about 2021, you know, type of free agency. So Kenny Galladay is available. He's only 27 years old, right? You got Yannick got where he's going to be available. We know that Joe Tunney's going to be available from the Patriots, right? So they may tear this whole thing up. You can go about out and out bid for the top guard, one of the top guards in the game right now. You also can go out, and Chris Godwin's going to be available as well. 25 years old, 1,000-yard receiver. So you'll be able to go there as well. Keenan Allen's going to be available, I believe. He may have got a contract extension. Shaq Barrett's going to be available, right? Allen Robinson, outstanding number one receiver, is going to be available.
Stay healthy, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he can't stay healthy, but also he's healthy this year, and they don't want to pay him, so he said that they don't want to pay him, so he's trying to get out of there because he's coming off another contract. David Bakhtiari is probably going to be the top offensive lineman out there. Why wouldn't you go out there and get him and put him on the other side of Becton? You don't think that's something that can improve your team, but you need money to be able to do that, right? And they're going to have the money and the flexibility to be able to do that. And I think you'll be able to go get Zach Ertz as well. So I think that the fact that you are committed to nobody means that you can change this narrative. And if I'm the Giants, and when we come back, we'll talk about them because they play tonight.
Yes.
The Giants, if I was them, I would put Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, all those guys in bubble wrap, because I'm going to play them tonight when I could be trying to move them and try and get
finish the thought.
Yeah, even though I'm potentially trying to get them out of there, I'm not playing nobody.
Coming up, I will tell you why that is insane. I will tell you why that's crazy. I will tell you why that is the last thing the Giants should do. Meanwhile, Cooper Kupp did sign that 3-year extension at the start of this season.
Okay.
Didn't get a lot of fanfare. It's only a 3-year deal. But still, yeah, so you were right, though, to say I think he already got his deal. So just for everybody to understand before we start getting all the tweets and everything, yes,
yeah,
we are aware.
Keenan Allen is a beast.
Cooper Kupp did get his extension. All right, 800. But I love the ideas you have, and you right now are doing at the midpoint of a lost season what needs to be done. Is say there is a light at the end of the tunnel. No, really, there is something ahead. This is the dark days. This is the worst part of it. But if you do buy into Joe Douglas, then you should believe that, okay, you got to get through this. This is the ugly, awkward stage of a rebuild. Yeah. But on the other side of this thing, there's opportunity. And he, unlike previous GMs, has connections, has relationships, and you hope has the ability to follow through on a rebuild that you can believe in. I just think that if I'm the owner, I also, as part of the rebuild, put him in charge of the head coach. Just quickly on a Mets note, Steve Cohen apparently is on Twitter, which caught me by surprise. But he is. And it's a very interesting follow. We'll go deeper into it during the week because obviously it's a big football day. But I was reading the replies that he was giving to fans. Like, he was interacting with fans because he just basically asked a simple question. He's like, all right, this thing's going to get wrapped up. And, what do you guys think I should do? And, and the response was great. Like, it's everything you want. It's Stephen V, by the way, that's Steven A. Cohen 2. And that's basically his Twitter. And when people were asking, like, is this really you? Is this really? A lot of reporters said, yeah, no, that's really him. No blue check, though. That's coming probably. But he asked.
Just Google it.
He asked the question. He just made a statement. I'd love to hear your ideas to make your Mets experience better. And what's fascinating is he's responding to all of the different fans. And I think it's great. And and a lot of it, if you're a Mets fan, here's something to keep in mind. Somebody brought up Old Timers Day, which is a Yankees thing, obviously, but the Mets used to do it, and then they got away from it. And he's like, no, absolutely. Absolutely yes. Have to do that. Some people were talking about retiring different jerseys, different names, different players, honoring players. And he said, someone else said, can we stop with the Dodgers references in Citi Field? The Brooklyn Dodgers stuff. Can we just get rid of that?
Right.
Can we put more into Gil Hodges? Can we put more into the Mets history in the rotunda, the Jackie Robinson rotunda, when you walk in the building? And he said, right, honoring the history of this franchise is of utmost importance. And then somebody else said, it's great that you're going to be the owner and we just want to be competitive. And he's just like, let's raise the bar a little more. We want to do a lot more than that. It's tremendous.
You know what happens when you got boys with money?
But oh, no doubt.
You know the dumbest person. I know, like I listen to hip hop stations. You got Donkey of the Day. I know we can't really say it because Petey's on here. So you listen to Ebro in the morning too. I want to be fair because I rock with both of them. Friends of Envy and Solomon. All right, but I tell you what, Donkey of the Day.
Excuse me.
And also, what was it? Congratulations, you played yourself.
Yes.
That comes from Rothenberg, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Marcus Stroman. Dumb of the day. He was the guy that thought he was going to out the Mets. He was going to get his credit season, get healthy, and then opt out so he can get money. But guess what?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Oops.
Nobody got more money than us now.
Like you
so don't come did. Back. Don't come back.
And he's
don't
talking
come
all
back,
Yankees
Jack.
Now. He's like, I can help the Yankees.
Yeah. You
know, sliding into the DMs with Cohen, you up?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think Cohen should call him in. He should schedule a meeting with Stroman so Stroman can think, oh, man, we can iron this over. Let me tell you what had happened was. Well, you know what I'm saying? What had happened was, man, well, I didn't want to put no arms. I knew we wasn't going to win this season, so I didn't want to put no miles on my arm, man, because I want to save them all for you, Cohen. Like, yeah, you know what?
And by the way, the whole de Blasio thing, which blew over, right?
Yeah.
Why did it blow over? A friend of mine told me about $15 million in grants to the city is why it blew over.
Okay. Okay.
So we know what that's about, right?
So he's for sale.
That flex was about, oh,
money.
Put a little cheese on a taco. You want
about
me to get
money.
Out of the way? Fill my
about
pockets.
Money.
That
about
is classic
money.
New York politics, man.
Yeah, just, dirty
and,
politics.
And Cohen was like, well, what's the check? What do you want? Right? That's essentially what it was. Well, give me the amount. Here's a check. Fill it out. Just get out of my face.
Yeah.
That's what that became. But if you're a Mets fan, there's more reason to love it.
He was like, Sammy, please do not let them take my pocket change. let them have it.
Man.
Let them have it.
So how about the answer is like this one. So one fan said, we're fans of New York, big market team that has too often acted like a small market team. I don't need to be the Yankees. I want to see my team make smart deals and develop talent, and then I want to win. His reply, winning is more fun. Like, it's very simple. Like, winning is more fun.
Alan, I think I'm in love.
This is great.
Full-on bloom love.
Oh, full-bloom love, huh?
Yeah, full-bloom. Because for years, and listen, we love the Wilpons and what they did, but they just weren't capable. And listen, the whole Madoff thing is just something that's the elephant in the room. And they just did the best that they could. The fact now that they're emboldened and empowered is not just good for New York. It's good for baseball. Because now you have two Death Stars in one city, in two different leagues, two teams to hate. And you hate me because you ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we can now outspend our problems like the Dodgers. We can outspend our problems like the Astros.
And then quickly, we got to get the calls.
Thing.
Quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One more. No, because we'll get deeper into this week. No. And I'm only doing it because I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, damn, we're already running out of time. That's how our show goes. But I'm telling you, this is what you love. And I would tell every owner in New York, you kind of have to get closer to your customer base. You got to. Stop worrying about the media. Stop worrying about what the media says about you. Worry more about what your fans say about you. And here's another one. Another fan tweeted at him. Steve, it's expensive for a family going to a game. How about new ways for fans to save money, like food specials, beers, whatever. Buy one, get one. You get the idea. Help people save a little cash, and they'll love you. He said, I will take a look at that. There has to be a way to provide real value. Somebody else also said about how loyalty, you know, stop trying to get new customers and take care of the ones you have. And he said, I like the idea of a loyalty program. The idea of just taking care of
points.
Absolutely.
You know,
somebody gets it. Finally.
You know,
well, we'll see, but somebody does get it.
You know who I feel bad for in all of sports, the people I empathize with the most?
Yeah.
It's a Jet fan from Long Island. Hostra.
Those
who can't get all the way over here and those who can't afford and who are loyal fans.
Dude, going to practice was like a thing. Like, that was a thing you did. You can go in an afternoon. You go watch some practice. You used to see Parcells walking around. You'd see, like, it was just something cool about that, going to Hofstra.
And now, you know, they almost feel isolated, like they have no home. They can't go to practice. They can't drive all the way from Long Island to Florham Park.
Oh, Lord, no.
And then it's too expensive for them to go to a game. And then, like, I'm figuring, like, if they do pony up the money and go to a game, they're looking at a big gray hole for $2 billion, they should be able to have a better experience than that. And I hope that it's some way that we can find a way to bring them back and to honor them. Because before they tore that stadium down, I came here the first year I was here. We were in the old stadium. And that place rocked. And it was
old.
Horrible.
Old buildings always had like something about them.
No, but it was the old prices. And then when the PSLs and all that stuff came with the new stadium.
The new building.
When I looked up in the stands and I saw the frauds, a lot of the frauds that were in those stands that were just there because it was cool to be a Jets fan.
Well, that's
because
we were winning.
Because we were starting to go to AFC Championship. So this was the second year. You saw these closet Jet fans that I've never seen before the year before.
They're to be seen. Like, again, it's a lower bowl at the Garden. Lower bowl at the Garden has become more about people who go because they have a connection to somebody who owns the corporate seats, and they bring their kids who are wearing Warriors jerseys, and whoever the opponent is. And I'm like, I get it, because for 6 years the Knicks have been bad. I understand that. Yeah. But you do lose something. You do lose something passionate. You do lose something when you have that. And it's not as bad at the Garden, but I know how you feel, because any time I've been to those games at MetLife, you just feel it. You know, you absolutely feel it.
The first year I was here, and I know we got to get the calls, but the first year I was here, and we had to play the Cincinnati Bungles to get in the playoffs. And it was the coldest game I've ever been a part of. I don't care what climate, what city I've been in. The energy from that crowd reverberated through your soul, because those fans were there from day one. And they were the ones who believed, not the ones that jumped on the bandwagon when they saw us beat the Patriots the first game. These are those that were there during the Rich Kotite years, the ones through the Herm Edwards years. It vibrated through your soul. That's what we played for. And we need to get back to that, where we invite those fans in, because they give you a power and an energy. I'm telling you, that place was rocking. Those 2 years when we were doing our thing, I ain't never been in the stadium that damn loud. Indoor, outdoor, fake RCA dome, Indianapolis, none of that. The passion of this fan base deserves winners. Joe Douglas has to bring a winner. Cohen has to bring a winner. We demand it, and they deserve it.
For a decade, a lot of the teams in New York, we've been through it. A lot of teams in New York have been through it. Yeah.
Damn Boston, this needs to be title town again. Get it right.
Now, to mention, just to follow up, we'll get to the call in the next segment. This is just a little tangent, but the Cohen stuff to me was just, I did not want to let it go. I find that to be real compelling stuff. But Bart, you did mention, though, and I got to pay this off, how the Giants, who play tonight against the Bucs Monday night football, how they're already making moves as well, and they could make more before the deadline tomorrow, 4 o'clock. And so they play tonight, and you're saying, wrap some of these guys up in bubble wrap, and you mentioned Golden Tate. You mentioned even Sterling Shepard. And I said, that's insane. And here's why. Well, I could see them moving Evan Engram if they wanted to. Zeitler maybe as well. And they'll get a pretty good feel tonight. We'll see how Lemieux plays. He's going to play in place of Will Hernandez. But if you're really going to move wide receivers, and yet you're also still trying to develop a quarterback in Daniel Jones, that doesn't really make sense. I'd rather make those moves in the offseason than in the midst of a season where, despite the fact that it's getting away from you, I still got to know and I still got to develop my quarterback. And if I take weapons away from him at the trade deadline for a sixth round pick, what good is that?
Here's the problem. You won't be – all those great receivers I mentioned, Keenan Allen, Galladay, you should be in the running for those guys too.
Oh, but you're saying that trade and acquire?
I'm saying trade so you can have the finances. You get somebody dumb enough and desperate enough like Green Bay who didn't get.
But what do you do the rest of this season? You still have half a season to go with this kid.
You've got to help him. But this kid's going to be around, and you got to tell this kid, I need you to buckle up. These are going to be the tough times. Eli did it. He buckled up when he took over for Kurt Warner. Because guess what? Whoever paid Golden Tate $35 million should be fired. Oh, that's right. Dave Gettleman. Why would you give this guy 35? You got rid of Odell Beckham, and you got an older version of him who hasn't been healthy as well, and gave him $35 million. Like, come on, son. If you get somebody that's desperate enough to take that money off your books, you do that. Because guess what? You can take that same $35 million and go get Kenny Galladay. You can take that same $35 million and get that kid Juju Smith-Schuster next year. That's why you do that. Because if you get to free agency, who the hell is going to take Golden Tate out of here? Who the hell in free agency is going to trade in the offseason for Golden Tate? The only time you can trade for Golden Tate is somebody desperate for a receiver.
Yeah, fair
now.
Point. Looking for, yeah, right, looking for help. I get what you're saying there, but you understand my point of view on that. So we'll see what happens. Michael K. Show, always big pimping. So they got that 20-20 contest that continues today. Again, 3 o'clock, as always, right here on 98.7 ESPN. This is for your chance. You win 20 great prizes over 20 days. Make your home life a little more enjoyable, as we always could use these days. Today, Bart, how about a little cold cash? Would you like some of that?
I love
$500.
I do love the sound of cash, especially when you can spend it on gambling on a game tonight. Hey, oh yeah. Double
we
that.
Talk about that. We got to talk about that. And lunch money coming up. You and I are 2-0 so far in the weekend. Love
Let's
it.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So the 20-20 contest brought to you by PC Richard and Son. Whistle. Kansas City Steak. Bartesian. Premiums. Cocktails on demand. ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. We got Rex Ryan coming up at noon. That's always a fun conversation. I think he'll enjoy a little bit of what happened in New England again. But in the meantime, we got calls with you. So let's get back to the conversation with you. Let's go. Let's see. Let's go to Jared in Canada. Jared.
What's going on, guys?
How we doing?
What up,
man?
What up?
This is it. I want to talk about Joe Douglas. I think it's too early for the fans to be calling for him to be fired. I think he had a solid draft. He didn't go too flashy with guys like a wide receiver, like I was thinking, like CeeDee Lamb. I like to pick with Becton. He's a monster.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's obvious that look what Gase did with Tannehill when he was in Miami. I think that was like how he's thriving with the Titans now. I think, but I'm scared to fire him too early because at this point we're 0-8. And I think we'll just keep losing if she's there, and I'm for that at this point. It's as bad as it can get, so just keep going that way.
Bro, 98% he's gone, I promise you. Listen,
Why 98? I don't like that. Why is there 2% chance he stays?
Because nothing's 100. You know what I mean? But I'm basically saying 100, man. This dude's out of here, man. The fact that they've taken play calling for him 2 weeks in a row, he's around there looking like a dog, like wagging his tail, like when you know, and looking up at you because he knows that he's about to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Like, don't even worry about that. And the whole fact that people are talking about Joe Douglas, he's really only been on the job a year and a half. He couldn't do anything in his whole first draft, you know, because the draft had already taken place before him. So it was nothing he can do. So he's only had one draft, and he's got you for sure, I believe, Hall of Fame player in his first draft. Hell, if he stays on that trajectory, just getting you one player. Hell, the Jets don't even have anybody in the last 5 years that was in the first round, even left on the team.
That's a fair point. And we don't know what Denzel Mims is. We still don't know. Second round, we're barely scratching the surface with that kid.
I tell you what, I love what I see.
No, that's what I mean. Like, we really have, like, we're just starting to see him now.
And P. Ryan.
And P. Ryan as well. Had some moments.
And the player that they love the most, that they talk about, every time I talk to anybody, they say, Bart, where would you see this pass rusher?
Yeah.
I don't even know his name. It's I don't know what his name is. Yeah. But they say, man, when you see this dude.
Not Zuguga.
Zuguga is doing his thing.
It's not that. It's definitely not that. He's going to be a guest at some point this season. You know that on our show.
No, listen, until he plays. I can care less. You don't have a name until you put on uniform and get some tackles.
Well, you were the 1AA slap, you know what. So we'll see. You know how that life is. Let's go to Scotty in Manhattan. Scotty.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
So 72 yards of total offense for the Bengals in 2009. I was at that game. I was freezing my butt off. But, yeah, that's how good that defense was. And then I'm pretty sure Bart and the boys beat the crap out of them the week after in the playoffs. So that was pretty fun. And Bart, you hit the nail on the head as far as, you know, MetLife and Giant Stadium. I grew up on Long Island and, you know, we'd go to every game and then we moved to Ohio. My dad would actually drive 7 hours every Saturday. So we'd still go to the game. And we still go to the games at MetLife, but it lacks a lot of personality.
You know, it'd be tremendous if somehow, some way, and I think the out is 2025, I believe, that the Jets or Giants can out, but the other team then has to stay. If you can, by 2025, have Steve Cohen say, I'm going to take some of this land here. I'm going to build a football stadium. And I'm going to bring the Jets back home. Right? And it's like you just build a stadium and then get into a partnership with the Johnsons. But I mean, it'd be incredible. You could say, well, do we really need another stadium? And I'm going to tell you, hell yeah. Hell yeah, you do. Because it's too far to go to MetLife if you live anywhere on the island. The traffic's insane. It's too far. And if you put something if you put a stadium right next to Citi Field in that area. Now, of course, we know that's city land, so that's always going to be political. But I'm just saying the hypothetical is if you could put something there, that would be amazing. Come exactly. Bring them back home. Now, would the Johnsons want that with their practice facility at Florham Park?
Practice facility too far.
Well, by then it'll be how many years? It'll be 10 years that they've been there, right?
Well, and that's a $50 million place, man. And then all the players live there, so it'd be tough. But, I could see them maybe moving. Maybe they should get a stadium.
Crush my dreams.
In the old Hudson Yards. Yeah, the Hudson Yards or something like that. You know what I mean? Like close to there.
They tried the west side. That didn't work, as we know. But now they're building on it. There's nothing there. They can't build. It's turning into a mall now. It's a whole setup over there.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about now, when you think about, the mass exodus from New York.
Oh, you buy up some buildings?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be available now because it's going to be the mass exodus. They're trying to figure out how to get
I don't think it works in Manhattan. I just don't think it works in Manhattan. I think if you did it on the Jersey side of the Hudson.
Yeah.
But I guess what's the difference that
blow up the Izod Center and build there.
That's right next to the stadium. What good is that?
That's right. No, because we're going to build our own. Damn it.
Oh, something better?
We're going to build
next
our
door?
Own. Better.
Two football stadiums on top
and,
of each other.
Yeah, and we're going to have our own, and we're going to have a dome on ours. We're going to have a dome on ours.
Let's grab a couple more here before we got to go. Let's see. Oh, I got it. You know what? Do we want to go negative or positive, Bart?
Let's go negative.
You want to go negative?
Yeah.
Bob is in Edison.
So I can try and change his heart. It's an icebox where Bob's heart used to be.
Come on, Bob.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, Bart, I'm really tired of you being a shill for Joe Douglas.
Oh, okay.
You're saying...
Do you hear me on the postgame and how I killed the team?
Let's hear what he said.
You just said about Joe Douglas is getting rid of all these bad contracts, and yet you want to sign Galladay and all these other free agents to big contracts. A, who's going to come to the Jets if they're not being given extravagant money? So we're going to have to overpay for everyone. So what you're saying just really makes no sense.
Okay, so can I make it make sense?
Yeah,
because what happens
what
is the salary cap's going to come down. So even if you're paying them high market money for that year, the salary cap's going to go back up. That's going to be a bargain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's not going to be a lot of people able to spend money because they're already maxed out on their salary cap. I just told you that the Philadelphia Eagles are $64 million over the cap. So they can't sign Zach Ertz, who's 29 years old, in a Pro Bowl and probably a top five tight end in the league. So you may be able to get away with not giving him Kittle's money or giving him that type of money.
Previous,
but still,
previous
yeah, where
place
was he at before?
Worked.
Yeah, where was he at before? Thank you, my point. Yeah. So now you're going to get at a lower price because when the salary cap come back, people are going to pass the price that you pay Ertz. But he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and sign this contract just like what we see happen in baseball. Severino signed for $70 million in baseball because they were afraid that they didn't that the salary cap and the money wasn't going to be there. So they took what they can get. So that means that the Jets are in prime position to get discounts for great players. So tell me where it doesn't make sense, Bobby.
He just said,
"Ha ha."
I just got to listen carefully. That's all. You know what though? What I'll say this about Bob?
Bob
feels like a lot of Jets fans do, which is there is no hope. There never is hope.
How the hell
when I do
you
have
back?
Hope, when I have hope, I get kicked in the nuts.
How you just don't want hope,
Bob.
How are you going to get rid of? How the hell are you going to get rid of a general manager who's been here for 2 years? He got a 6-year deal. How many years did it take? How many years did it take Lynch to turn the San Francisco 49ers around? Took him 3 years. Joe Douglas had one draft. John Lynch had three. So how am I shielded? I'm just trying to give a man an opportunity to do his damn job.
Well, what you also, though, is you have, and be honest, you do have more of an intimate understanding of his background, what he's about, and that allows you to speak with a little more confidence.
Exactly.
I think it's fair. Like you're like that's not shilling. What you have is more of a unique perspective on somebody who's running the franchise than most people do. You know what he's about because you guys have the same pedigree. You're from the same place, Baltimore.
It
comes from.
And maybe just maybe I know the plan.
Well, don't reveal too much of it. But yeah, that could be it too. So
damn, Bobby.
But I understand.
I'm trying to give you something that can't nobody else give you. But you don't want to take it. You don't want to take it. So you know what, Bobby? Your information train is cut off. No more inside information for you, Bobby.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.